And Father, that's the way you speak to our hearts today. You reveal what we need to do one day at a time. And Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that you would be with Pastor David today. I pray, Lord God, for the message that he's going to bring. Father, I pray for Keith, and I pray for all the ones that's going to participate in this service. But Father, I just pray that you would be lifted up and glorified in this time. And Father, we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bradley. Let's join together and sing some Christmas carols. If you would, stand with me, and let's start with, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Shall see stay on.
right now. We're going to sing a few more, though, a couple of verses of each of the next three. We'll keep going here with O Little Town of Bethlehem.
All is calm. ransom captive Israel that mourns a lonely exile here. Until the Son of God appears.
Well, when we've got a big event in this day and time, we go to social media to celebrate or to let people know about what's going on in our lives. And there's nothing bigger than the birth of a baby, is there? Whether it's our own child or our grandchild or our niece or our nephew, everybody loves the news about a new baby. And I know they didn't have social media back then, but if they would have, they'd have been taken to social media to announce it. That news about Jesus' birth would have been on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and whatever source of social media they could find. And I know we've not always had that. We didn't have that when our kids were born. We did have cell phones, and that's the first thing I did, and probably first thing a lot of you did, was we called to let people know, he's here. Our children have arrived. Both of our boys, when they were born, that's what we did. And I'll never forget that moment in the birthing room with my wife, just the two of us, when both of our boys were born. Same words. Gina held those children, those boys, in her arms for the first time, and she said, "Welcome to this world. Welcome to our world, Garrett Caldwell Brown. Welcome to this world, Grayson Connor Brown." And those were the first words that she said. I remember that distinctly. And so some of you, if you had your children a little bit longer ago, longer time ago, then you might have been in the waiting room, and you might have called on a payphone somewhere and called somebody, but you wanted to share the news. And if you're like Justin Stevens out there, you've done all the above over the years. But I know I'll pay for that later, but it's okay. I couldn't resist getting that in. But it's interesting in the Christmas story. I want to take my remarks from Luke chapter 2 tonight. And it says in verse 7, "Then she," meaning Mary, "gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them." Now, as I said earlier, they didn't have social media. They didn't even have cell phones or pay phones back then. But you'll never believe how they got the word out. God got the word out, I should say. He appointed an angelic chorus to announce the news. And so you can read about that in Luke chapter 2. How awesome is that? Man, I wish I could have arranged that for the birth of my kids. An angelic group of choir told this group of shepherds about the birth of Jesus. Now hold up for just a minute. You're probably a little confused if you're really paying close attention to this story. Out of all the people in the world, God sends a group of angels to announce through a choir the birth of His Son Jesus, the most important birth in all of the world, in all of history, to a group of shepherds? That just doesn't add up. I mean, shepherds were pretty much the low men on the social totem pole in that day and age. It wasn't the priests. It wasn't the rabbis. They weren't really connected in any way. Do you know a shepherd couldn't even vote? They couldn't even give testimony in a court of law. They had no rights. In fact, they couldn't even enter into the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day, into the tabernacle or into the sanctuary. They were considered unclean. Why would God go to those kind of people first? In fact, if they would have had social media back then, we would have probably looked at them like they were stalkers. You know how sometimes stalkers get on our account to check us out. And we'd have thought, why in the world are they in this picture? Yet that's exactly what happens. Look in verse 8. Listen to what it says in verse 8. In this same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. Verse 9 says, then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. I'll bet they were. They probably thought they were in trouble. They were probably saying things like, God wants to talk to us? I mean, that rabbi hasn't talked to me in years. I haven't seen the priests in months. God talks to us? Yeah, right. Tell me something else. Tell me another one. But that's exactly who God went to. And I believe it was the perfect choice. And I want to spend the next few moments before we have our candlelight time talking about why the shepherds were the perfect choice to spread the news about the birth of Jesus. Here's point number one. Shepherds were the perfect spokesman because of who the message is for. It was perfect for God to go to these shepherds because of who the message is for. You say, well, who's the message for? The message is for everyone. Everyone. Everyone needs to know about this baby that was born in the manger. And shepherds were the first people that they told. And this message is good news for everyone, everywhere. Look at verse 10. The angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, I'm aware that in a crowd this size, or really in any kind of a crowd at Christmas time, there's a lot of people that really are having a wonderful time, and it's a wonderful celebration. But the truth of the matter is for others, it's not. Some of you, you may be here tonight, and this is not a really wonderful Christmas. In fact, you may be here, and you may be thinking, why hasn't God blessed me? Why did God allow me to go through what I've been through this past year? Why can't I have the kind of family like some of these others that are gathered around me tonight? Why can't I have a better job so that I can buy better presents for my family? Christmas is a struggle for many people. Many people dread this time of year. And there's a lot of people, even some who believe in God, who honestly struggle during this season, during this time of year. And that's why I think it's appropriate that the shepherds, their hearts are filled with fear. And they don't know what to think about this. And the angel tells them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, or good news of great joy. And hey, listen, that just reminds me that God is with you wherever you go. He is on your side. Isn't that good to know? He's for you and not against you. And if you don't understand that, what I just told you, then you are going to be afraid. You are going to be anxious. And that fear and anxiety is going to paralyze you wherever you are in your life, whatever season you're in right now. So listen to that angel. Listen to what he says to the shepherds, because really, by extension, he's talking to you, because the gospel is a message for everyone. Do not be afraid. And so when the time came for Jesus to be born, they didn't come to the religious elite. They didn't come to the religious leaders. They didn't come to the scholars. They came to the lowly shepherds. Hey, listen, as you think about the Christmas story, you need to understand the question is not, is God interested in you? He's very interested in you. The real question is, are you interested in God? That's the first reason why the shepherds are the perfect spokesman, because this message is for all of us. Second, shepherds were the perfect spokesman because of what the message is about. What is this message really all about? Well, let's go back to the text and look at verse 11. Verse 11 is where the angels, the shepherds' hearts start beating again, and the angels kind of start filling in the blanks or the gaps. And they make some incredible claims. I want you to think about them again. Verse 11, today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah. He's the Lord. Now, again, the message of a birth is not unusual. I'm sure they did it back then, maybe differently than we do it today, but in all times, we announce the birth of a baby. But the details about this birth is what makes it so unusual, so extraordinary. Look at these three words that are mentioned here in the text. First, he is called Savior. He's called Savior because he's the one who would live a life and die a death so that he could lead us out of sin and out of bondage and out of separation from God. He came to earth so he could rescue us. Have you let God rescue you? Have you let Christ rescue you? He is called Savior. But then another word that stands out to me in this text is the word Messiah. He is called Messiah. I love that word, and that's kind of a Jewish word. The Jews were looking for a Messiah, but it means the anointed one, the one who had been planned from the beginning. He is the promised one. He's the one the scriptures talk about in the Old Testament, like Bradley pointed out at the beginning of the service. He is the one for whom the world was waiting and is still waiting in some cases today. He is called Messiah. And then that last word there, he is called Lord. A lot of times we like to call him Savior, but we're hesitant to call him Lord. If he's our Savior, then he is our Lord. That just means that he's our boss. He's our guide. It also means that he is fully God. He's fully in control and fully in charge. You see, the shepherds couldn't get to God, so God came down to the shepherds. And this little baby is the same God who spoke the universe into existence. He's the one who created everything. He is Christ the Lord, and he's still in control. And let me tell you something. He's coming again one day to make this world right. He's going to right all that's wrong in this world because he's fully God. He is Christ the Lord. And we celebrate that tonight. And then verse 12, he throws them for another loop. The angel does. The angel says, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. That's familiar territory for a shepherd, by the way, but not for a Messiah. Verse 13 continues. Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people whom he favors. That tells us a little something about this baby. This baby is going to change world history. He's going to change the very destiny of a lot of people's lives. He's going to bring glory to God. He's going to bring priest to, and he's going to bring peace to men. How's he going to do it? Again, by humbling himself and becoming obedient, even obedient to death on a cross. Folks, that's good news. Your sins can be forgiven. You can have a relationship with God. The Spirit of God can live inside of you. The Spirit of God can change you and help you to be the man or the woman that God created you to be. And when you die, instead of hell, you can live in heaven for eternity with Him. That's forever and ever. That's good news. That's what this message is really all about. And then thirdly, shepherds were the perfect spokesman because of how the message is received. How the message is received. Again, let's go back to the text and look at verses 15 and 16. I want you to notice what happens next. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Verse 16, notice what it says. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. I love this part of the story because it tells me that when the shepherds were faced with this life-changing news, they didn't talk about it. They didn't kick the can down the road and say, I'll deal with that later, or I'll deal with that when I'm older. They made haste, as it says in one of the Christmas songs. They went, they knew where to go, and they went to where they need to go to find out about Jesus. Listen, here's what I want to say about that portion of the Scripture. It's not enough to hear the message of Christmas. It's not enough to be sentimental about the message of Christmas. Do you know you can be sentimental about Christmas and still not be saved? You need to experience Christmas. You need to experience this Christ child for yourself. That's what the shepherds did, isn't it? They went to where he was, and they found out that what had been told was true, and they met him. And so you might be a seeker here tonight, and you're trying to find out more about this Jesus. I encourage you to be like the shepherds. Keep seeking him out. Come to church on Sunday morning. Come to life groups. Come in while we study together. Come seek somebody out and talk to him about it. And you know what? If you'll seek him out, as it says in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, with all your heart, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And so there may be some seekers here tonight just need to seek him out, and you'll find him. But there's others here tonight, and maybe you've just gotten, your life's gotten cold, your walk with the Lord. And what you need to understand and remember, can you think back to when you first experienced Christ? Maybe you were an 8-year-old child like I was when I was saved. Or maybe you were a teenager. Maybe you were a grown-up when you got saved. But all of us needs to be able to go back to a time where we experienced Christ. Folks, that never gets old. I never get tired of thinking about it. When I first experienced Christ. And you know what? He can be born in your heart this very night if you'll let him. And if you're a follower, you need to think about that and never get over that time, that life-changing experience. Let it change your life right now and forevermore. Shepherds were the perfect spokesman because of how the message is received. It's received humbly, but it's received when you go and you check out what others are saying about Jesus. You find out for yourself, and you take him and make him your own. Just like you're going to have gifts at Christmas time here. And maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, I don't know when you're going to do it, but you're going to have gifts that are wrapped very neatly and put under a tree. You're going to have your name on that gift. I've asked people many times, when does that gift become yours? Well, it's yours right now. Somebody's lovingly picked it out for you. They've wrapped it. They put your name on it. It's under the tree. But when it really becomes yours is when you take that gift and you open it and take it to yourself. Begin to use it. Put it on. Wear it. Enjoy it. Use it. Jesus does not become yours until you make him personal. There has to be a time where you recognize you're a sinner. You turn from your sin and you trust him only. And you receive Christ only. His forgiveness, his shed blood, his resurrection. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. And then that brings me to my last point tonight about this wonderful passage from the Christmas story. Shepherds were the perfect spokesman because of where the message leads. Where the message leads. Where does the message lead when you check it out for yourself and you receive it unto yourself? Well, it changes everything. It may not change what you do for a living. It may not change your social status. It may not change your economic status. But you are a different person. You cannot meet Christ and walk away from him unchanged. He'll change your life. He'll change the way you go about things and the way you think about things. I want you to notice again back in the text. Look at verse 17. After seeing them, meaning Mary and Joseph and the baby, Jesus, they reported the message that they were told about this child. That just reminds me that after we discover and experience Christ, we've got a message that's too good not to tell. We need to let people know. We need to let our friends and our neighbors know and our family. And we need to let people everywhere know because this message is for everyone. And people need to know about Jesus. They need to know what he can do and will do for them if they will let him. And so they told people. And look at what happened in verse 18. You know, they weren't worried about their reputation. They weren't worried about how they'd be received. Remember, they couldn't even testify in a court of law. But notice how the people responded. Because I believe that God was going before them and God helped them share this news. All who heard it, verse 18 says, were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You see, these people understood that God had been doing business in their hearts. They knew they were different. And they knew that they were on fire because of what happened that night. So when we meet Jesus, we need to not be ashamed. We need to let him take control of every area of our lives. We need to let Him have room in our workplace and in our family lives and even in the messy areas of our lives. Let Christ clean Him up. He will. He'll do that for you. But the thing about this verse is that we do it because people need to know about Jesus. And then there's this last verse, which really testifies to where this story leads. The shepherds, it says in verse 20, returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Again, the message of Jesus Christ will change you forever if you'll let it, if you'll receive it. Here's what I want to say as we close out this message tonight. Jesus has a great plan for your life. Jesus wants to do something in your life that only He can do. But you've got to be willing to come to Him. He's not going to force you. You've got to be willing to genuinely say to Him, Lord, show me Your will for my life. My life is Yours. I've made a mess of it myself, and I really don't like the direction I'm going. Lord, whatever Your will is, I want it for my life. And most importantly of all is I want Your forgiveness. I want to be cleansed of my sins. I want to be in a right, good relationship with God. Listen, you only have one life to live on this earth. And even at that, we don't know how long that life's going to be. I'm reminded all the time as a pastor of the brevity of life. Make your life count. Make your life all that it should be and can be. Give your life to Jesus. I implore you, live your life for Jesus today. I want to close tonight. I recently, and I know this is not a new song, but I recently discovered a song on YouTube. And it's a song that, it's got a good tune to it. I like the way the song sounds, but I love the words to it. And when I was thinking about what Gina said to our boys when they were first born, she said, welcome to this world, or welcome to our world. The name of this song is Welcome to Our World. And so I'm wondering tonight, have you welcomed Jesus into your world? I want you to listen to these words, and these words are just piercing. They're going to be up on the screen. You may have heard this song before, but I want you to think about why Jesus came, the difference He's made in this world, and the difference He's made in your life or can make in your life. Welcome to our world. And we'll do that, and then I'll have a closing prayer, and then we'll do our candle lighting tonight. Think about these words, and you see them on screen, and listen. Listen to this message and song.
Welcome to our world.
this be a time of prayer, of commitment to the Lord. Whether you're a longtime believer or maybe if you've never really truly believed before, and this is the time where you want to confess to the Lord privately. Welcome to our world, Jesus. We know that we need you. Welcome to our lives, Lord. We allow you, we want you to enter into our hearts, every aspect of our lives. We believe that you came to this earth, just as it says in your word. We believe that you were born of a virgin, even though we don't understand how that happened. And we believe that you lived a sinless life, fully God and fully man, even though we don't fully understand that. We believe that you died on the cross sacrificially. You took our sins upon yourself in a miracle that only God can do. And we don't fully understand that either, but we believe it. And we believe that you died and was buried and you rose from the dead the third day. And we believe that that was your mission. That's why you came to this earth. That's why you allowed yourself to be clothed in flesh, as it says in one of the Christmas songs. That's why you allowed yourself to suffer and to bleed and to die, because you love us and you want us to be made right with you. And so we say welcome tonight. We welcome you. Maybe it's for the first time and we need forgiveness and we ask for your cleansing and we ask for you to be the Lord of our lives and to save us. Others of us, Lord, we just have tough situations we're dealing with right now. Our hearts are hurting, or we have situations in our life we don't know how to solve them or settle them, or we're disturbed by what we see in our world. And we say, welcome, Prince of Peace. Welcome and help us. Lord, we don't run from you. We run to you with our difficulties. And so, Lord, now we give everything to you. And we honor you on this very special night as we celebrate your birth. And as we think about the message that went out by the angelic chorus to the shepherds, we know that we're like those shepherds. We are needy. We are poor and needy. We need you tonight, Lord, every one of us, no matter what our social standing. And we turn to you and welcome you tonight. And Lord, as we light these candles, it reminds us of the fact that you are the light of the world. And when you do light our hearts and set our hearts on fire for you, we are to let others know and spread the word. And Lord, your kingdom is to grow. And one day, your word says that every nation, tribe, tongue, and people will gather around the throne and worship you. And so I pray that we would be about your business until you return again. Thank you for meeting us here tonight. Thank you for doing what you did on the cross for our sins. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to light my candle first, and I'm going to have our deacons come down. Some of our deacons I've asked, and we're going to have you guys light your candles now, and then Laura's going to lead us in a song.
Angels.
bow with me once again as we commit ourselves to the Lord anew. And then we'll have a closing song tonight that we'll play on, as a video after we do this. But we'll bow our heads now for prayer. Lord, as we have a candle in front of us, it reminds us again that Your light is to shine through us in this world. And You have given us light. You are the hope of mankind. And just as Laura has just sang, all is well in our lives when we have You. Even though we may struggle and suffer and have difficulty, Jesus, You warned us of this. You said, in this world you'll have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And we thank You that we can be overcomers through You. Lord, we can have the overcoming hope of the salvation that You've offered, and also the fact that You will help us through our struggles and our trials and the things we face in this life. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to You. As we get ready to depart this place, we are celebrating Your birth, whatever we're doing the rest of this week. And so we pray that we would continue to let Your light shine through us. And, Lord, if the light is being hidden for some reason, help us to be quick to confess that, to go to You and to find strength through Your word and wisdom, and to recognize that You're a tremendously gracious and forgiving God. The word says that if we will confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Thank You that You are the light who came into this dark world, and the light overcomes the darkness. And thank You that You are penetrating the darkness even yet to this day. So we give this time to You, we celebrate You, and we recognize You as our holy and righteous Savior. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. If you will, listen to this video at the end, and then you'll be dismissed.
Sing out His praise. It's Christmas. Born is the King, rejoice in the day.
Merry Christmas from your pastor and staff at Hillcrest Baptist. We hope you have a great evening. Thank you for coming out tonight. God bless you.